Thank you very much. Being well looked after this morning. This is the first time I've started a sermon sitting down, but I thought it was going to be safer. I want to take you back to about 1954. I was about 13 years of age. An old man, as I thought he was then, he was about 80, began to instruct me as a 13-year-old. And he said to me, he says, "I believe that the Lord is going to return before I die." Well, he's been dead a long time. So what he said was false. I don't doubt his sincerity. I don't doubt that he meant what he said, but he was wrong. And as I've advanced through the years, various things have been said and done which people say, "Oh, well, it must be that the Lord is about to return." I'm old enough to remember when Ireland and the UK joined the common market, and books were written showing very clearly that it was a sign of the Lord's return. Well, again, it was a good guess, and they had lots of information, but they were wrong. They got it wrong. Now, I do believe that we're living in the last days. But what are the last days according to Scripture? Well, we don't need to worry over much because the Bible makes it clear when the last days exist. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, for example, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." And there are other references in the New Testament which refer to the last days. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, warns them using the things that took place during the time of Moses. People became idolaters during the time of Moses, and they were punished by death. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment," or if you like, "the end of the ages is come." So we think of Jesus entering into the world. We think of the incarnation. We think of him coming into the world, which began those last days. And they will end with the coming again of the Lord Jesus in glory. And between, as we look forward to that end time when the Lord will come in glory, we are given clear instructions by Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 14, where he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Now, in between what has taken place in the last 2,000 years and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, there will be wars and famines and earthquakes and persecutions. Parents and children will betray each other to godless rulers. Christians will be hated and some will be put to death. But as Seth said last week, make up your mind not to worry. You will be given words and wisdom that you may be able to answer and defend yourself. Does this mean then that you and I switch off as far as the Lord's return is concerned? Well, there are signs to look out for, and some are very clear, some are not so clear. Some we now know were very imminent, and we will talk about that in a moment. They were very near, they would take place in AD 70. Others are still yet to take place, but it's going to happen. Make up your mind not to worry, however. So we don't switch off, rather we look forward to the coming again of the Lord Jesus in glory. Now, some of you may not agree with my interpretation, but this should never divide us, because as we look down through the years, we see how people have come up with all kinds of ideas. So be fully persuaded in your own mind. So let's look together at these words that were spoken by Jesus to the apostles in Luke 21. So have your Bibles open at Luke 21 and verses 20 to 38. Now remember that the disciples had asked the question because they had looked at the temple, they had seen its beauty, we had seen how much it was to be admired, how it had been beautified by Herod, and it was all very, very grand. But Jesus said, the days are coming when not one stone will be left upon another. So when is all this going to happen? Says the disciples. Well, when you see, Luke 21 and verse 20, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. So there's going to be a destruction of the temple. Now imagine this being sent. We are Gentiles, as far as I know, here this morning. That's our background. But if a Jew heard this message, he would think, wow, everything centers on the temple. This is a place of sacrifice. This is a place where the Holy of Holies is. This is where the priests offer sacrifices on our behalf. It's a very precious place. And yet you say it is going to be destroyed. Now, it's not the first time Jesus has spoken at this day. Seth spoke about it last week in Luke 21 and verses 5 and 6. The desecration of the temple. And this would take place in AD 70. The Jews had been revolting against the Roman occupying forces. And this coincided with the Passover. So there were over a million people living in Jerusalem at that time. Either they had come up for the offering of a sacrifice according to the law, or they actually lived in Jerusalem. But there were over a million people when the armies surrounded the population of Jerusalem. Titus, he besieged the city, he broke down its walls and slaughtered many people, and he took many away captives as slaves. There was cannibalism at that time, and it's estimated that over a million people died when the walls were finally breached. Jesus prophesied that it was going to happen, and it did happen. Look at verses 21, Luke 21 and verses 21 to 24, and what Jesus has to say at that time. He spoke of it, and he spoke of a terrible time. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is a time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So it's not a pretty picture that is being painted by the Lord Jesus. Now, although the Bible doesn't give us the date AD 70, we do have historical records. They were written and recorded by the historians in a later date, but the city was besieged and people died. And there had been other signs warning people of what was going to take place. Between Christ's death and the destruction of the temple, there were signs. A terrible earthquake in Laodicea, volcanic eruption of Vesuvius, and Pompeii was destroyed, famine in Rome. Do you know, in the last 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war whatsoever. That's how wicked man is. So Josephus, an historian, speaks of this day taking place in 70 AD. And this is what he says. The roofs were thronged with famished women, with babes in arms, and the alleys with corpses of the elderly. Children and young people, swollen from starvation, roamed like phantoms through the marketplaces and collapsed wherever their doom overtook them. It was a terrible time, and the Lord was warning that this was going to happen. It would take place, and they should be ready. So when they saw the armies, then flee. Don't hang about. Don't go into the city to get the last few things to put into your case. Don't do that. Don't come back at all. Rather flee, and flee quickly. But it was not only the fact that the armies were surrounding Jerusalem. It was a time of punishment. Verse 12 tells us that. Why were they being punished? Well, because the people, for the most part, had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19 and verse 14 says, "We will not have this man," that is Jesus, "to be our king." So there was rejection by the people. 27 years later, the Christ's ascension into heaven, Titus and his soldiers surrounded Jerusalem, and according to the word of the Lord, what Jesus said came to pass. Jesus, of course, had voiced his concern for the people. It wasn't a lack of love for them. It was rather that he cared about them. So we read in Luke 19 and verse 41 that as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and bring and bind you in and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So they were being punished because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Publicly, he had warned them out of love and concern. Now, it concerns me that we're living in days where the church so often is used to be funny, to give people a good laugh, to send them away happy. But Jesus didn't come to amuse. He didn't come to entertain people. The Bible doesn't present us with a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Rosemary and I were in a conference once, and the preacher was expounding a passage, I think, from what I remember, it was from Ephesians. And he told lots of stories, and we were definitely entertained. We all had a good laugh, and I was one of those who joined in the laughter. But when he came to the end of his message, he apologized that it wasn't time to finish the exposition. And another thing that I have noticed, that there is a departure of making known the awfulness of a lost eternity. Those passages that speak about the punishment of Almighty God when the Lord comes again in eternity. Again, when we were on holiday once, the preacher was there, and it was a liturgical service, so consequently he was reading the stated passages. And they happened to be on judgment. And after he'd finished reading them, he says, "I don't know this Jesus." Well, he didn't know the Bible, because the Bible has a lot to say about punishment. And we must take notice of these words that Jesus spoke, as he spoke of a time of punishment. The third thing that we can notice from the passage we read, it's a warning. It's a warning to escape. Flee to the mountains. Stay out of the city. Don't go back into the city. Leave everything behind. And there's this awful warning for pregnant women, for nursing mothers: distress, wrath, sword, imprisonment. And these were words that were spoken by Jesus himself. And they were fulfilled. Dismissed by many in that day, because people didn't take Jesus' word seriously. But scripture is full of warnings. Strong warnings. So if you say to me, "Don't speak about warnings. Don't speak about judgment. Don't speak about hell," I will say, "Well, what does the Bible say? Isn't God a God of love?" Yes, he is. But he's also a God who will bring wrath upon everyone who doesn't believe and trust in him for salvation. He will judge absolutely righteously. And if we reject the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will reap the consequences. Flee, says Jesus, from the coming wrath. Heed the warnings. Heed the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, there were those who listened to Jesus. Eusebius, writing in the 4th century, says that many believers escaped Jerusalem and lived in one of the cities of Perea called Pella. They'd heard the words of Jesus. When they saw the army surrounded, they took notice of what Jesus had to say. And they fled, and they went quickly. They saw the armies. They saw what was going to happen. They see the siege ramps being erected, and they fled. Their very lives depended upon it. But there were others who refused to listen. People who ignored the message of the apostles. People who ignored the words of the Lord Jesus. And they died in the city of starvation. So there's a clear warning here. A clear warning to flee and not to stay, but rather, O Lord, rather to make our way to a place of safety. And that safety is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We will find our security and safety in him. Look at verse 23 and the latter part of verse 23. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the nations until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So here is a verse that gives hope for Gentiles and for Jews. Romans 11 and verse 25 and those verses following say, Israel has experiencing a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. So there's a warning of judgment, but alongside there is hope for the Jewish people. Promises have been made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You see, the Lord will gather his elect. As far as the gospel is concerned, the Jews were enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. God will gather a people to himself, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only for those who run to him for the safety that only he can give. Something else that is told us in this passage, that there will be signs. Yes, one of the signs will be the gathering of the Gentiles. So, in Luke 21 and verse 25, we have a massive leap. The Lord Jesus goes from what took place in AD 70 to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And in verses 25 to 28, almost quoting the same words that were uttered by the prophet Joel in chapter 2 and verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night when we're not expected. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and everything in it will be laid bare. This day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. The end will feature unnatural disasters, cosmic happenings, quakes in the heavens, terrestrial catastrophes, total disturbances, chaos. And there will be, as verse 25 tells us, anguish and perplexity. Verse 26, men will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world. Now there was the immediate, the destruction of the temple. But there were signs when the Lord Jesus Christ died. In Matthew 27 and verse 51, the curtain of the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. There were signs at the death of Jesus, and there were future signs referred to. I tell you the truth, verse 32, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, do we believe these things, or is it a figment of our imagination, something that we could put to one side? Well, Jesus underlines what he was saying by giving them a parable in verses 29 to 31. He speaks about a fig tree, and he speaks about the kingdom of God is near. Read the signs. When the leaves begin to appear on the fig tree, the kingdom of God is near. If you're a gardener, like I used to be, now I leave it to Rosemary, but if we have things in the garden, we're always looking for signs. We're looking for the buds. We're looking what is going to happen. And we look forward to being able to pick the produce, so that we might be ready when the fruit appears. But I want to say to you young people today, you've perhaps been coming to this church for many years, and you think you've got years to go, but you do not know. Be ready for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. For you'll have to answer to him. So don't think there's an age and thousands of years still to come. It mightn't be the case. You might be struck down by an illness. You might be struck down by a car. Lots of things could happen to you. I pray that it won't happen, and I don't want to frighten you. Only if it causes you to run to the Lord Jesus that you might find salvation. But I don't just want to speak to the younger people here today. I want to speak to the older people as well. Perhaps church is comparatively new to you. But are you listening? You think, well, I've got plenty of time. I see the doctor regularly. Yes, I'm in reasonably good health. But my friends, if you haven't run to the Lord Jesus, you're lost. And when the Lord returns in glory, you will be cast out from his presence. And he will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. These things happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 to 10, and I want to read the whole of this passage. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it had been since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was dead, deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. How long before the Lord returns in glory? I don't know. But Jesus brings this exposition in Luke to a conclusion in Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. It's a conclusion with an exhortation. He says, be careful of dissipation or wasteful living. You can see it happening. Again, people ask for baptism. And then after being baptized, they fall away. Watch out for drunkenness, being caught up with the things of this life instead of laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. Forgetting eternal issues. So the exhortation says, watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And on that day, will you receive his, well done, good and faithful servant? Or the alternative, depart from me, I never knew you. Don't play with the word of God. I love the story of the Scots preacher. And he said this, I seek to live my life as though Christ died yesterday, rose again from the dead today, and is coming again tomorrow. How can we do that? Well, by following the example of the people that are referred to at the end of chapter 21. They got up early in the morning and they waited to hear Jesus. They listened to what Jesus had to say and they hid what he had to say in their hearts. May we all do the same, we who are living in these last days. Amen.